Well, the reason I'm putting it up here is because it's multicolored. And it just reminded me, you know, when Gabrielle was waving it this morning when she was speaking, that, you know, God is a multicolored God, right? And that all the colors of the spectrum, if you learned this in physics when you were a kid, you know, all the colors together make white light. And Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And so, and I think this is a picture of how our lives are supposed to look. They're supposed to be colorful. They're supposed to be a piece of art. Like mine is not like anybody else's, and yours is, everybody's is so unique. And I was thinking about, because my message is on repentance. and I was thinking how, you know, when you're in kindergarten, I don't know, maybe this didn't happen to you, but you might be drawing, you know, like a lovely picture, and here comes Andrew Corish with a black crayon and does this all over your picture. And I was thinking, you know, that's kind of like what sin does to our lives, and not just what other people, you know, the sin that other people have committed against us, but our very own sin. It's like we're destroying, you know, the beautiful picture that we're created to be, and not walk, and we can't walk in our full and true identity with that sin. And so repentance is such a gift, because it, you know, repentance along with God's forgiveness and the forgiveness of people and our forgiveness towards them just brings reconciliation. It brings intimacy. It brings unity. And that's what we need in the church right now. So anyway, that's... I was supposed to preach this last Sunday, but, it, you know, we followed the Holy Spirit last week, and it was a good thing, and so it pushed the time up. And I found out 2 days ago, because I'm not an expert on the Jewish feasts and everything, that it was Rosh Hashanah this week, I think Friday, and that's the Feast of Trumpets, and it's followed by 10 days of reflection and repentance. And it's even they throw bread on the water, and you know, it's like just releasing, you know, releasing their sin, and anyway, so I thought, wow, Lord, it's your timing for your message, for what you want to say. So Father, I just pray, Lord, that you would help me, Lord, just to be your vessel. And just to somehow, Lord, speak so that your servants will hear your voice speaking to them individually, Lord, and speaking to us all corporately, Lord, because we don't want any black crayon on our picture. We don't want any black crayon on our church, Lord. You're calling us to righteousness. You're calling for the rising up of the sons and the daughters of God. And even, you know, as I saw like the other day when I was praying, just how this country, it looks like it's just gone downhill and downhill. And I said, what's the opposite to that, you know? And I just felt like he said, righteousness exalteth a nation, you know, and righteous, that uprising of righteousness that is going to exalt this nation. And that's going to come not from the world. It's going to come from the Lord. It's going to come from his people, or who are his ambassadors on the earth. So the title of my little message this morning is Turn and Burn. Because, you know, when people think about repentance, they think about the guy on the box, you know, on the street corner that's yelling at people and speaking condemnation over them and saying, you know, repent or you're going to hell, and they're just preaching the fires of hell. But they've got it they've got it so wrong because it's the love of God that brings you to repentance. And repentance is a gift because you can be reconciled to God because of that gift of repentance. So it's a good thing. And so in this body, you know, not just in this body, in the world, I guess, we have experienced a huge Kairos moment. I mean, it's the world. It's not just our church, our city, our country. It's the entire world. We've had this massive event of this global pandemic and all the unrest and division that has followed over the last few months. And, you know, the world has changed. Well, you know, in our church, we have a high value for discipleship. And one of the we learned this tool for discipleship about how you process like a Kairos moment. So maybe you could put up that slide for me. And this will be a reminder to some people, but there's some people that haven't seen this. And the line going across the top is kind of your life, right? And then you hit a Kairos moment. It's an appointed time. And this is just a tool to help you to, because the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and believe. And that can be, you know, what brings you from death to life. That can be what the repentance leading to salvation. But repentance and faith, or repent and believe, is actually a lifestyle that we should all be living, because we all still fall short of the glory of God. We still sin. We still need, you know, that verse, 1 John 1:9, it was written to believers. If you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So we don't want that black crayon. We want to get rid of it quickly. You know, when we see and identify things in our life, we want to deal with them quickly. So here comes a Kairos moment. I mean, it could be just like an important moment in your life. Maybe you get married or somebody dies or something, and it just rocks your world. And so you have to kind of like stop and process. And so the repent side says, okay, first you observe what happened. And second, you reflect on what happened. So you think about it. Why did this happen? Why am I reacting the way that I'm acting? And then you might discuss it with somebody that you trust to counsel you. And then at the very bottom, there should be a line like down the middle of the circle. But at the very bottom, that is the time when you've thought about it, reflected, and you may have discussed it with someone that you trust. That's when you want to stop and you want to listen. What are you saying in the midst of this? Because we want to be led by the voice of God. So we have to stop and we have to listen for that. So when you've thought about it and reflected on it and discussed it, you know, it's like, God, what are you saying in the midst of it? And then when you hear his voice, you know, you can, you know, check with somebody that you trust. And if you're not sure that was his voice, but usually, you know, you'll hear something pretty clearly. And then you make a plan, because you don't want to just hear his voice and walk off. You want to be obedient. You want to turn. There's a turning in repentance. So you want to turn towards God, and you want to obey. You want to hear and obey. You don't. We too often we hear, and then we just go on with life, and we haven't. And that's not true and full repentance. Repentance results in a change of behavior. And so, and then you can make a plan. You can have accountability with somebody and you act, you take action to go in the opposite direction, if you like. And so I just wanted to give that quick reminder. My whole sermon is not on this circle, but it's a tool. And if anybody wants help with that, you know, there are lots of people here who know all about this. And we kind of do it subconsciously with each other. And if we get together, you know, we ask, well, why, you know, how are you feeling about that, you know, or just tell me what happened, you know, and it helps you to process through life. So here we are, okay, 2020, huge Kairos moment. Everything changed. All my safety, I felt like every safety net that I had knitted to stand my life on, you know, was like ripped out from under me, and just everything changed. And it was like nothing we've ever been through before. And so many changes have happened in our world, and it's happening to my family who are in England, just the same as us. They're you know, shaken up. And so it's a huge shaking that sometimes feels like destruction. But I feel like the word from the Lord is that this shaking is actually going to be the making of the church, because we needed to be shaken. We needed to be shaken so that we can rise up, because I feel like he's calling us to live out of a greater realm, you know, out of the kingdom realm. We've had one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom, and he wants us to be single-minded, not double-minded and unstable in all our ways. We don't want to be like that. We can't be like that. The beginning of the whole thing, you know, it threw me, just to be honest, into a tailspin. And I suffered with fear, hopelessness, you know, anxiety, confusion, you know, horror at what was going on, isolation, cabin fever, you know, all of those things, and just looking at all the sad and horrible things that were happening in the world. And I just went to God, and because I didn't know what to do. It was like, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. You know, it's like, God, I can't do this. I'm supposed to be a leader here, and I can't do this. I don't know how to. This is new territory. I don't know how to walk in this place. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to counsel people. I don't know what to do. But my eyes are on you, Lord. Help. Help me. And God, you know, help me to hear what you're saying, you know, in the midst of this. And, of course, one of my first thoughts was that, hey, we really need revival. You know, we all have this idea in our head of what revival is. And it's probably not, real revival is probably not that you might have experienced or be thinking about. But the word means life coming back, right? Revival, it's life coming back. And this is what we need. We need life to come back to the church. We need to be awakened. You know, it's like the alarm went off. The alarm went off, and we're being awakened. You know, I was thinking even this morning about an old little message I gave a few years ago somewhere else, and I was thinking, because it was the Feast of Trumpets, and I was thinking about, you know, in the book of Joel, blow the trumpet in Zion, you know, call a fast, and turn, repent, let there be fasting and weeping, repent with fasting, weeping, and mourning, because the land had been devastated by a plague of locusts. They'd just eaten everything. And then the promise is at the end that he restores what the locust has eaten, you know. And anyway, so that came to my mind. But also, you know, okay, so we need revival. Several years ago, when Stacy and Casey and myself were in this discipleship class learning this stuff for, what was it, 2 years worth of training just to help us, you know, just to disciple people and to teach other people how to disciple people. When we were there, I was staying at a friend's house up in Raleigh, and I had a dream. I don't have a lot of spiritual dreams, but this one stands out because I had a dream, and in that dream, I was sitting at a round table, my hands were on the table, and all of a sudden, I just get this little seed dropped into me. I felt like it was a spirit, Holy Spirit seed that dropped into me, and I heard like a whisper, "Revival, revival is coming." And then another seed came, "Revival 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 is coming." And I woke myself up screaming in my friend's house in the other bedroom. I was screaming, "Revival is coming, revival is coming." I didn't go to bed thinking about revival. We were in this training, right? It was very bookworthy, you know. And yeah, very analytical. And so it was kind of crazy that I had that. But what it did for us, you know, because I brought that to the leadership at the conference, and it encouraged them because that's what they've been praying for. They've been praying that revival would come. But for us, you know, what it meant for us is, okay, revival is coming. It takes away that question of, "Oh God, please send revival, please send revival." It takes that away because, no, revival is coming. Revival is coming. And so what are we going to do about it? And that's why we've, you know, endeavored to train people, to disciple people, to make, okay, this is biblical, to make disciples who make disciples who make disciples, because it's supposed to have that element of multiplication. It's not the pastors who make the disciples. It's all of us. We make disciples who make disciples. It's got to replicate itself. So I wanted to see revival. So I thought, well, I'm going to study a little bit because I'm stuck here at home and we can't go anywhere. So I'm going to study a little bit about revival. So I started looking them up, and there's lots of cool stuff on YouTube about revivals. And coming from England, you know, I was especially interested in, you know, because I wasn't a Christian when I was in England. So I was especially interested in what God did in England and tapping into that because I was born British, right? And so I'm a Brit, yeah. So I started looking at the revivals. One of them was the Hebrides revival, which is up on some islands, like to the west of Scotland, and Duncan Campbell was the leader there, although he did not initiate this revival. Two old ladies who were praying initiated the revival. And I think one of the lady leaders in that revival has some relationship to President Trump, like a grandmother or great-grandmother or something. And I think he actually has a Bible from that revival in the Hebrides. Anyway, the thing that stuck out to me is because all revivals of the past are marked by repentance. You can't have revival unless there's repentance. And repentance has to come to the church first, right? In that revival in the Hebrides, people, you know, there was one guy that just came under the heavy conviction of sin for weeks before he got a breakthrough. And, you know, I started questioning, you know, have I really repented? You know, repentance comes, it's not just a one-time thing, and it's not just a rote thing that, oh, God forgive me, you know, with, it has to come from the heart. I don't know if you remember, Stacy has a great teaching on repentance from the heart and his testimony with that. But yeah, so it's like, Lord, I don't want to see if there be any wicked way in me. I don't want it. I don't want that black crayon on my life, on my picture. It's not what I'm created for. It doesn't belong on me. But, you know, I don't know. Please just begin to show me. And it was just like coming to him. And I'm in process, let's put it like that. Because it's just, but it's a process of opening your heart to the idea that maybe there might, Andrew Corish might have been in there with his black crayon, and, you know, some hidden area that I don't remember, or especially like sins in your mindset, you know, and lies that you've believed, and all of that. So anyway, I just entered into this season of just self-examination. No, and I didn't come on, I have not come under condemnation. You know, the Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So it's not like, oh, I've been here and I've been moping around in my sin. It's not like that at all. It's like I'm pursuing God. I want the more of God. I want to come into that greater realm. I want to go higher with him. I want to hear his voice. I want to follow him through this. And the only way I know, you know, the only thing I know to do is like, I'm just like pushing for him, but I got to push away the stuff that's in the way, right? Because I'm after him. I'm pursuing him. I have to. He, where else can I turn? He has the words of life, right? My joy is found in him. My hope is not found in the world or in a certain party winning the election. That's not where my hope is. My hope is on the solid rock of Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so whatever happens, there's a place in God that you can live where you're not rocked by all this mess that's going on around us. And where you'll know the next step because your head is, you know, into his bosom. You're resting. The one whom the Lord loves rests between his shoulders. You know, you're seated in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. You know, we draw near to God. He draws near to us. You know, that's my cry right now is, Lord, I'm drawing close to you. You know, my eyes are on you. I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you, and I'm after you, and it's a violent thing. It's like there's way more, I don't know if you're experiencing it too, but there's way more intentionality. It's like I'm building, you know, it's one of the other words, God's saying build. You know, it's like do something every day to step closer to the Lord. You know, read some verses. You know, let God speak to you. Memorize a verse. I don't know. Increase your faith comes by hearing, and hearing from the Word of God. Get into the Word. You know, I've been in the Word more than I ever have been. And that's, you know, there's a matter of repentance there too. It's like, Lord, you know, and you realize how busy you've been with the things of the world, and when all he wants you to do is just to just draw near and find time, and if it means getting up ridiculously early so you can, you know, spend 10 minutes you know, with him, just you and him, you know, whatever it means, it's different for everybody, and everybody's got different schedules, and some people are working, some people aren't, and you know, but God knows. He knows your situation, but there's a way through it, there's a way across, there's a way through it, and he will make a way for you to find him in the midst of all this. So, let's see. I'm only on page one, and there's four pages, and I totally got off my notes, so it's okay. So we talked about repentance. You know, the Greek word is metanoia, and it means a change of mind, purpose, or action. Mike Breen actually says it's a change of heart that shows up in a lifestyle or behavior change. So that's the fruit of repentance, is you're going in the opposite direction in that area, right? So, and so maybe you stole something, and so you come and you confess your sin to God, and then you don't steal anymore. But it's more than that. It's like, because you're turning a different direction, and instead of taking, you get in touch with the heart of God, and you become a giver, and you're not taking anymore, but you're giving. There's something active in the opposite spirit, in the spirit of God, which is the spirit that leads us now, right? I believe, one of the things I believe was that I was not valuable when I was growing up as a kid, just because of my facial deformity, because I was called rat face for several years. And I believed I was on the outside looking in. I was ugly, and I'll never experience life like everybody else. A whole bunch of lies, because I was in the kingdom of darkness. This is what the kingdom of this world does, because it's filled with lies. And any little thing that can happen, the enemy will just pour lies into your little head, and you don't have anything to defend yourself with. And I bought in to those lies. But now, you know, now I have a daddy who speaks identity to me. Now I have a daddy that holds me in his arms and says, "You look just like me." You know, because the word of God says, I'm made in the image of God. In the image of God, he created them. Every person on the earth is created in the image of God. And when we sin against each other, it's like taking, if I sin against Stacy, it's like taking that black crayon and just doing this to him. And when I do something, if I do something bad to him, then I am sinning against the image of God. He's created in the image of God. And when we look at each other, every single person, we need to look and we need to see that person is created in the image of God, no matter what they look like, no matter how rich they are, how poor they are, no matter if they're old, no matter if they're young. We need to be careful how we treat each other. Because how you treat each other is you're treating God that way. And so that's why he calls us to honor one another, to prefer one another, you know, to act unselfishly for the betterment of each other, right? What a beautiful thing. Can you imagine what would happen if this culture got of greed and self-centeredness, you know, that we've all been a part of, if we got a hold of God in the midst of this and we started speaking, because now I can speak to somebody who's suffering with a poor self-image, and I can tell them what I know about them. I can speak the Father's, because the Father has comforted me. And so I can comfort somebody else with the same comfort that I received. And I can say, you know what, you're beautiful. You're made in the image of God. You look just like Jesus, you know, and he's made you to be a special expression of who he is on the earth. You know, he has a unique calling that's just, you know, and he's going to use your story and make it his story. His story. Yeah. So, okay. So, it's like, okay, where is it? I don't even know where. I don't even know where I am on my notes. Okay. Okay, so I thought it was interesting. I was thinking 400 years. There was a 400-year gap between the end of the book of Malachi and when Jesus came, when John the Baptist came preaching, repent. That was after 400 years of silence. It was that word was the first one, right? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and believe. You know, the Lamb of God is coming and all of that. But it was repent, repent, repent. Why? Because you're all a load of rotten sinners, you know. No, it's like repent. There's something's going to happen. This incredible kingdom of God is going to is going to touch the earth. It's coming close to you right now because Jesus was coming on the scene, right? And it's a call because you can't come near unless you repent. It's sin. It's that black crayon that keeps you separated from God. And so that I was just thinking the power and the passion that was in that word, repent, and in that message that was brought to people in a crazy world. Because if you look at the culture that Jesus came into, there was a lot of similarities. I mean, there had been, over that 400 years, like things had degenerated. They had gone downhill. There were empires during that time that rose and fell. There was oppression. There was slavery. There was gross immorality, greed, and all the rest of it. And yet Jesus, the one who is holy, 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 stepped into the middle of it. What love, behold, what manner of love the Father has given unto us that we should be called sons of God. And that is who we are. And it's because of the goodness of God, because of the mercy of God, because he stepped into this world in complete helplessness and humility as a babe. Not in a rich house, you know, that we would think that he deserved, of course, you know, because we think like that. But he just came, and he came in humility to seek and to save the lost and to give us hope in this world. So repentance, I think the call to repentance is a passionate call from God because he wants intimacy with you. He's passionate about you, and therefore he's passionate about repentance. There is a way out of your mess. And also there's a warning, because if you don't, Luke 13:3 says, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And it says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. It's the object of our faith that determines the value of our faith. It's Jesus. And it's what he paid the price. He did everything right on our behalf. Right? He's done it. It's done. Tetelestai. It's done. It's finished. The debt is paid in full and we are free. He's rescued us. Colossians 1:13 says, He has rescued us completely from the tyrannical rule of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom realm of His beloved Son. For in the Son, all our sins are canceled, and we have the release of redemption through His very blood. Wow. That's good news. Did you know the gospel is good news? It's good news. He's brought us out of darkness. He snatched us out. He rescued us from that pit. He transferred us into another kingdom. It's incredible. Whoa. Oh, this was a cool thing that kind of came up when I was studying for this. You know how it says in Genesis, you know, that a man shall leave his father and mother and he will cleave to his wife and the two shall become one? I was thinking, you know, repentance is kind of like that. It's like, you know how Jesus said to somebody, maybe it was Peter, that, you know, you are of your father, the devil. Yeah, the Pharisees, okay. And not, poor Peter. So it's like coming out of the kingdom of darkness where your father and mother is the devil, basically. It can't be any other way because there's only two kingdoms, kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of heaven. It was this side, right? So you leave your father and mother, the devil, and you cleave to your bridegroom king. Right? Because we are the bride of Christ. And the two shall become one. And we live, you know, our lives are now hidden with God in Christ. And we're one. And we're walking around, we're like undercover agents in this world because the thing and the person that the heavens, even the heavens cannot contain, lives on the inside of you, you know. And lives on the inside of me, and we are made to demonstrate, you know, the kingdom, to come with a demonstration of the kingdom's power and to come with truth and hope and light. And we live in this kingdom of, you know, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's a good place to live. I don't want to live there anymore, right? I want to live, I dwell in the secret place of the Most High God. I'm surrounded by heaven. You know, just like we sang this morning. I'm getting more and more of a godly imagination because it's good to have a godly imagination. And I'm seeing this picture of me, like, just with this little place, just, you know, up above me, that I can just go in the Spirit, and it's that kingdom realm, and it's no, you know, no evil can come anywhere near me, and that's where I find, you know, wisdom, and that's where I find comfort and mercy and, you know, all the things that I need in my life, but it's right there. And it's a reality. It's true. You can take it to the bank. You can take it to the bank. Anyway, so, you know, somebody can look at you. They might not know. But, you know, the more we realize and get into that kingdom realm, which is, it's a kingdom that's advancing. There's movement in it. It's not just a hiding place to sit and eat crackers, you know. It's you're part of the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God is advancing. And violent men take it by force. And I think God is just releasing that violent spirit to, you know, that we would chase after him, that we would come after him with a violent spirit, that we would move in the opposite direction. You know, when so many, when I think Michael in the back, you know, I was just thinking about you because kids, you know, so many kids are being hurt in this day and all the child trafficking and everything. But they're moving in the opposite direction. They're taking the kingdom. They're not like running away. They're coming into the battle and they're helping and they're supporting. And, you know, not just with prayer, but in practical ways. They're doing something about it. And, you know, that's another thing I feel like God's been telling me, like the areas that I was hurt in and the areas that where I sinned and participated in the mindset of the world and fell for it and committed like egregious sin, that's the area of my authority in the world, because I have a message out of that to say, don't fall for it. Don't fall for the lies. You know, this is what will happen. This is how, you know, this will bring suffering and pain in your life, maybe for many years. Maybe you'll feel like you've spent 40 years in the wilderness and you're just coming out. I was thinking that, you know, he brought us out of darkness and into his glorious light. And I was thinking, you know, he brought the Israelites out of Egypt. Why? To bring them into the promised land. But they're complaining and their disobedience and everything left them in the wilderness for 40 years. But he brought us out. We have to remember and remind ourselves that he brought us out to bring us in. And he will bring us in. And he will, like he made a way for the Israelites to cross the Red Sea. And so that he didn't plan for them to get you know, overcome by the waters and drown. Did it? He took them in on one side and he brought them out on the other side. And that's how I feel about this and everything that's going on, that he's still in control and that he is taking us in. He's taking us out of one place, right, with this shaking that's the making of us. He's taking us out of that one place to bring us in to another place, to a higher place. He's saying, come up here, my beloved. And he's going to be, you know, there's going to be a supernatural, which means above the natural, race of people on the earth, you know, who are the children of God and who have, we have the words of life. We have the message of hope for our neighbors. We have dominion over, you know, our neighborhoods. And we have, and we are the ecclesia, right? It only has to be two or more gathered together that agreeing as far as touching something. You can be the ecclesia, you and your family, in your neighborhood. You can see if there's any, you know, you can meet the needs of your neighbors. You can pray for them when they get down. And my neighbor's been through a really rough time with her mother's been in the hospital. She didn't see her for several months. It's horrible. Like just completely separated and just the hardest thing. And just I've been able to encourage her, like send her, you know, like worship songs or something. Like just little ways that you can you can give somebody hope and encourage them in the Lord and pray for them and send them a scripture when you think about them. And you know, it's those simple things. It doesn't have to be, I don't think God sees it as a big thing that you're doing or a little thing that you're doing. I just think he loves to see us doing, you know, that we want to be doers. We want to be doers. Okay, so one of the big points that I have felt that I wanted to bring up this morning is the thing about the mind set of the world, because I think in a lot of ways we've come out from sin, we've repented of our sins, and but we haven't completely come out from the world. And, you know, I was thinking about you know, because I was trying to think of all the things I could repent for. But then I started to think, you know, because of all the, you know, all the news and everything, it's like it is so out there now, the mindset, the evil mindset of the world is so out there that you can't miss it. And one of the sins that I feel like the Lord is calling me and us to repent for is participating in that. You know, we're very, very influenced by the media. You know, there's been, you know, gradually they'll throw more and more like sin, because they've been normalizing sin on the TV shows that we watch. Just watch your show and just write down every sin that comes up before your face. And God said to me one time, do you want my vision or the television? Yeah, well, we have to make a decision. You have to make a decision, you know, but I'm finding it very hard to watch, you know, and I watch pretty lame stuff, you know, the Dog Whisperer and stuff like that. But I mean, but, you know, some of it is just time wasting, and wasting time is to be redeemed. We need to redeem the time. You know, it's not productive and it's not good for the brain, just like, you know, all day long watching TV. So anyway, so let's see. I've said a lot of this already. That's good. Yeah, so we take personal responsibility for our own sin, but have we taken corporate responsibility for our part in contributing to the sinful world that we live in and the culture that surrounds us? A culture manufactured by the media. You know, why do you wear what you wear? Why do you buy what you buy? You know? Yeah, yeah. And so as we've participated in it, we've condoned it, and we've propagated it. And I feel like God's been telling me, and so I'm telling you, to come out from among them. I think that was, you know, are we more influenced by the mindset of the world or the mind of Christ? Do we have the mind? We have the mind of Christ. There's not room for all that. And so it's just been like a process of realizing the power and the influence that the mindset of this world has had on our lives. It's just been an eye-opener, and you think how it's affected you, you know, how it affected me. We were all born into sin. We were all born into the kingdom of darkness. And, you know, I was born in the 50s and grew up in the 60s, and it was all this like free love stuff that was going on, you know, which is like, it was just costly sin, not free love. And, you know, the evil, you know, that had come out of the wars, you know, because it was post-war, you know, and just judging people. You know, there's a huge eugenics movement that judged people by, you know, not only the color of their skin, but by their social status and by their if they had a deformity or something. I mean, they were forcing people to get sterilized and stuff like that. It was awful, some of the things that were, so, you know, so it's no wonder I bought right into the lies, you know, because I knew that I was different. And, you know, anyway. And the whole prevailing philosophy was, if it's right for you, do it, you know, whatever. Yeah. And, you know, like I said, that is all an attack against the image of God. And people on the earth need to see the image of God. And you are that image bearer. And I am that image bearer. So, and I was thinking, man without God is like our own autonomous zone. You know, where we're the ruler, you know, and we do everything our way, and we control and manipulate, and we participate with that woman, Jezebel, and we do it. We fall for it, and we, you know, we do that, but we want to come into the kingdom zone, you know, and we want to choose obedience. Stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you. Or another way of putting that is, don't be squeezed into the mold of this present age, but we be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in His eyes, because it's, you know, it's about pleasing Him, right? And 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters. Yeah. So, it's time to change our mindset. It's time to, you know, we're in this season of, you know, after the Feast of Trumpets, it's the new year, a new season, right? But let's start it out with that, you know, let's follow that and maybe spend a few days and just of self-examination. And just when you come to the Lord, when you start to pray, just listen, you know, let Him show you if there's any wicked way in you. Let Him show you how you've participated in the mindset of the evil mindset of the world. Let Him tell, you know, tell Him how much you've like bought into the influence of the media or whatever it is, the people around you or whatever. You know, let's be the first. We're praying and waiting for evil in the world to be exposed and taken care of and all of that. But let's be the first. Let's let God examine our hearts. Let's come clean with Him. Let's receive His mercy, receive His forgiveness. Let every place of evil in us be unearthed and exposed. And every thought, every action, every mindset that we've brought into. And this is for other people's sake. In Psalm 51, you know, it says, so that sinners will find their way to you. Because when you repent, it puts you in a place of humility first, because you realize that you've been just as guilty. And so you can come alongside of somebody who's struggling, right? Do it for our sake, you know, because that's how we restore intimacy. It's such a gift to be able to do that. It's such like the plan of God to, you know, to create this thing where we can repent and believe and just come back to Him and then go on a little further and repent and believe. And it's just, it's a beautiful lifestyle that reconciles us constantly to God and conforms us to the image of His Son as we obey His voice in the midst of it. Psalm 51:17 says that it pleases Him. He's pleased. He receives a broken and a contrite heart. He will not despise. It pleases Him when we repent. And the fourth one is that it gives us mercy for others. So I was just going to end by I was just going to read Psalm 51, which is a psalm of repentance. And I'm just going to ask you to close your eyes, and I'm going to just say it as a prayer for all of us. And so you can pray along with me. And you know, if there's things in your mind that you need to repent for, you can do it right there in your seat. You can come up here to the altar if you want to. But let this, you know, this isn't a one-time, oh yeah, I did it at church this morning, you know. I mean, search your heart. Let, you know, be totally clean. Look at what that has done to your picture, you know. And you know, just, you know, let's just be clean and be holy as He is holy. So, okay, let's close our eyes and say. So, Lord, You are so good. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to Your unfailing love, according to Your great compassion. Blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against You, You only, Your image, have I sinned and done what is evil in Your sight. So You are right in Your verdict and justified when You judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Yet You desired faithfulness, even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I'll be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones You've crushed rejoice. Hide Your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me, Lord, a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from Your presence or take Your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of Your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors Your ways so that sinners will turn back to You. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, You who are my God, my Savior, and my tongue will sing of Your righteousness. Open my lips, Lord, and my mouth will declare Your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, You, God, will not despise. So blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for the gift of repentance, Lord. And just teach us, show us Your ways, and show us those wicked ways in us so that we can be cleansed. Amen.